I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Hank O'Donnell. With 32 years of business leadership, Hank knows the entrepreneur's world firsthand. Growing up in a family business, Hank experienced the joys and heartaches of being captain of his own ship. For 23 years, Hank was president of a Philadelphia office supply firm. In 2003, after selling the firm, Hank became a Vistage CEO group chair, building three successful groups in Philadelphia. By his estimate, Hank has conducted over 10,000 hours of executive coaching and facilitated more than 200 leadership team sessions. In 2013, Hank became a certified EOS implementer when he saw the amazing impact that the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS, was helping his clients get to their next level. So inspired, Hank started his own company, Positive Traction, and is currently helping 24 successful entrepreneurs and their teams create and achieve inspiring and exciting visions. Hank, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, David. It's wonderful to be here. I appreciate your invitation.
Yeah, a pleasure to have you on, and I'm really looking forward to our discussion. So with all of your experience, why do you think entrepreneurs that have been in business for, let's say, 10, 15, 20 years or more, find themselves at a plateau?
You know, I think that's a very interesting question, because I think it's multidimensional. Many entrepreneurs have a scaling issue with what I call letting go of the vine. So as they grow their companies, they need to grow themselves. And some entrepreneurs have a very difficult time delegating and releasing. So in order to view themselves as a leader, they need to step out of the doing part and more into the leadership piece. So it's a internal reset of their role in the company as they grow into leadership, creating vision, and then not doing the work, but then having a team assembled that can do the work for them. I call it growing up, like going through adolescence. The original entrepreneurs, loaded with energy, lots of opportunity, everybody's doing everything, fully excited. Oh my gosh, what's going on? We got more business we can handle. Everything's an opportunity, and it's almost like a go-go stage. I used to call my dad go-go. He was a visionary entrepreneur, loved new ideas. It almost became too much. So that for the entrepreneurs that are successful, they have the discipline and the rigor to focus themselves and their companies where they can be impactful.
Also, doing is a very different skill set than leading.
Yes, it is. And the piece that many entrepreneurs were successful was actually the doing, especially technical entrepreneurs that developed a specific expertise. They're gurus. And the danger there is what I call, and I think Jim Collins said, the genius with 1,000 helpers. The fellow that has invented a piece of software that falls in love with the product probably needs to start to view himself more as an entrepreneur than a technical expert. Or get someone that can grow the company for them, because the doing piece needs to be backed up by the thinking piece. And leadership is about thinking and planning and strategizing. Management is about doing and executing.
So, Hank, what have you seen that are some of the warning signs of an entrepreneur, particularly somebody who's experienced, getting into that place where they're not growing themselves so they can't grow their company?
There's probably a couple, David. The one that I see a lot of is personal dissatisfaction or frustration. I started this business. My idea, my dream was that this would give me freedom and a life that I could live, and I would enjoy not working for anybody and having a great impact. And all of a sudden, this business has taken over my life. So I'm starting to get complaints from spouses, from family members. I'm exhausted. I'm fatigued. I'm burnt out. I just can't run. So other symptoms are our sales start to decline. Maybe our profitability starts to slip away. Things used to be easier. It feels like we're running through molasses. So we start to see service failures with our customers. And we're trying lots of stuff. We're throwing stuff at the wall. Nothing seems to be working. And there's just this feeling of malaise in the company. And it's sad to watch, because people come into entrepreneurship with such hope and such vitality. And then after 5 years, and I saw this with my dad, you know, you get to the point where the company takes over your life and it's a point of almost regret and you're desperate to do something different, but you just don't know what to do differently. And those signs, you know, everybody in your world, especially your team, will be picking them up. So when somebody says to you, you're getting a little grumpy here lately, you got to listen to that.
Do you have recommendations for where somebody who is experiencing the feelings that you just described, where they should start making some changes to turn things around?
Well, I'll tell you from my personal experience, I am a strong advocate of peer advisory groups. And to be able to use the collective wisdom of folks that don't have any skin in the game, but only have your best interest and your success. When you get to a leadership position, entrepreneur, a company, one of the things that is often absent is the truth. In a position of authority, your direct reports may not come to you and tell you exactly what's going on. They don't tell you when you have mustard on your tie, boss. But good leaders are very anxious to know, where is my weak spot, my blind side, and how can I do that? If you're in a peer advisory group, and it's a good one, you're going to have people that are maybe a little bit larger than you are, that have been through the barrel, that have the scars on their back, that can say, okay, this too shall pass, yet can give you an objective perspective of what you need to do. Because what you don't need to be as an entrepreneur is a victim. This is no time for a pity party. Everybody's counting on you to run the ship. If you want to be a victim, then get somebody else to run the company. You're in a peer group, they're not going to treat you like a victim. They're going to treat you as fully competent and capable and challenge you to be better. And if you can be around people that, I say, steel sharpens steel, get in a group that you're going to be challenged, not a bunch of people say, wow, you're the smartest guy in the group. I was in a peer group. I was the smallest company in the peer group. I tell you what, those first couple of meetings, David, I was really intimidated. Like, holy moly, these guys are 10 times bigger than me. What do I have to offer? But they were able to help me see areas of myself as a leader, what I needed to do to grow, and the business strategy that I couldn't see because I was so enmeshed in the system, in the business. So I think the first thing is you need to have a strong peer group and have it chaired by somebody that you feel is respectful and you can have open and honest conversation with. But like anything else, it's like joining the gym. If you join a peer group, you got to lift the weights. You got to bring issues. You got to be eager to learn, suck up all the wisdom that's around the table. If you join a peer group and you think you're going to be the smartest guy in the room, then don't do it. That's for ego satisfaction. You're not going to learn. The other piece is a personal coach. Peer groups can help you from a strategic point of view and help you with your business plan. Lots of times, entrepreneurship is inside baseball. It's what's going on between your ears. And with visionary entrepreneurs, there's just so much opportunity out there. It's difficult at times to focus. But if you have a good executive coach that can talk to you about what kind of leader do you want to be, what is your shadow side, what are the impact, what's the positive impact you want to have on people, you have somebody that can walk through all the, I call it going through the forest and slaying the dragons with you. The good coach is a personal advocate and a biggest pain in the butt you can imagine. And so to have that. And then the third piece from support, I think, I consider an operating system, like the entrepreneurial operating system, is a management system for your company that helps entrepreneurial companies scale by getting everybody aligned with the vision, having an accountability system in place, and getting good team dynamics. So if you get those three things in place, you get a peer group, strong peer group, a personal coach, and then an operating system, you're putting the structure in place that can scale your business so it won't be so dependent upon you, although you can paint the vision for the future. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Hank, since you spent many years as an entrepreneur before stepping into the role where you provide help to others, Walk us through your journey a little bit and what some of the transitions or transformations were that you went through that caused you to realize the importance of having a peer group, a personal coach, and an operating system.
Well, David, I'd like to tell you it was a stroke of brilliant genius that made me do this. It was nothing but dumb Irish luck. I was in a family business, eldest son, and my timing could not have been worse. I took over the business for my dad during the mid-80s, and there was a little outfit that was called Staples that was coming into our industry. And I was, as a family second generation, I'm not going to lose this business on my watch. my dad was an entrepreneur. My grandfather was an entrepreneur. I did not start anything. So second generation entrepreneurs often have a fear of failure. I call it the don't screw up syndrome. And I didn't know exactly what to do. So I started to inquire in my local business community about what are the resources that are out there to help businesses. I always come from a point of desperation. I needed to get a reinvention of the business model. I researched consultants, and I always felt like the consultants were going to, whatever their expertise was, that was what I was going to get. I needed help on the emotional piece about dealing with the feelings of failure that I was experiencing, the defeat that I was feeling, the sense of all this responsibility. Could I get through this thing? And the holistic approach of a peer group was something I didn't know anything about, but one of my colleagues said, hey, you got to check out, at that time it was called Tech, the executive committee, check out one of these tech groups. They might be able to help you. And I called up the local chair of that tech group and I described my position. He said, why don't you come in and meet the group? And when I went into the group, I was like, wow, this is exactly what I need. You know, I need that collective wisdom. And what I needed more was courage. And that group gave me a boatload of courage. And to this day, I'm eternally grateful for Tech 341 in Philadelphia. That was the group that I belonged to. Exceptional group of individuals. They provided me the challenge, but also the hope. And I realized I wasn't alone. And I think that's, you know, for many entrepreneurs, David, there's an aching in their heart because it can be very lonely. Who else do I talk to? I call it the imposter syndrome. You know, after the meeting's over and all the employees are looking at you and we've had a great meeting, let's move forward and let's execute, blah, blah, blah. They all walk out. You close your door and go, what the hell am I doing? What the hell am I
doing? Leadership is very lonely.
It sure is. It is. And I thought, you know, for me, it was like, man, I got a room with 12 other leaders and everybody's got this damn thing. They all think they're imposters. These are real people. You know, you can put the mask down and just be yourself. So I think part, you know, for the listeners out there, and you know, when you hit a plateau, it's just a sign that something has to change. You have to listen for it. I'm really a strong advocate for find a group of peers. It's a support group, you know, people that have been maybe a little bit ahead of where you're at, different industries, don't feel like they got to know your industry. In fact, the guys that didn't know my industry were the best challengers because they were asking some amazingly perceptive, simple questions that I took for granted. So they question all my assumptions. So, you know, I think be humble and know that you need help. And peer groups are great. Peer groups are one of the strongest things I recommend for folks.
Now, for somebody who has never been in a peer group, do you have recommendations for how to find one that will work for you?
Yeah, I think it, for me, you know, because I work with a lot of CEOs, you have to have good chemistry. And I always encourage you to get to know the leader of the peer group. If you like, if, for example, Vistage has chairs. If you like the chair, go out and have a cup of coffee, open and honest, confidential conversation. If you like the chair, you're probably going to like the person that chair has attracted into the group. And I also encourage you to sit in on a group meeting. You know, the best groups are open and honest, always looking for good people that want to contribute. And going into a meeting and maybe even discussing one of your issues for 15, 20 minutes will give you a sense of the expertise in the group. And don't feel like every group is going to be for you. You know, there's different groups. They have all, every group is different.
And does there come a point when you've kind of outgrown a group?
You know, interesting question. I say yes and no. You know, one of the sayings that I thought resonated with me was, you know, CEOs, business owners, entrepreneurs join these groups, but people stay. So the average tenure in many of my groups was over 12 years. This is a group of colleagues that walk through life together. So, you know, businesses, unfortunately or fortunately, they're never the same. You can be in a position where you get, you know, I'm not getting fed by this group. You may have outgrown the group. I think you need to find a bigger group. What I usually find, though, is that the personal connections, at least in my group, were so strong that the challenges you get larger is more personal than it is business-wise. So to have trusted advisors to talk about things like, do I have the right people on my team? Do I have the right strategy going forward? Those people know you so bloody well. They know your goals, they know your aims. That is such a valuable asset to have. The people that stay in groups enjoy that. The people that find that they outgrow the groups usually are looking for more technical expertise. So, you know, you guys don't know my industry and it's changing. I'm going to go to a different type of industry specific group. That's fine. But a good peer group is more about leadership and it's for the individual.
Mm. Now, I know there are lots of different kinds of groups that are structured in different ways. You know, so you're involved in Vistage. Vistage has its own template, and it's a large organization that has lots of individual groups. There are individuals that may run a handful of mastermind groups that are, mm-hmm. you know, right, as a private business. There are also individuals that start and are part of peer support groups that are volunteer run. What are your thoughts about the different models?
Well, you know, I have to confess, I don't know a lot about the other models. And the thing that I think if for your listeners to be thinking about is, you know, do you have budget issues and time issues? What's my commitment? And the quality of the conversation. So Vistage, when I started, there was not a lot of peer groups around. That was 15 years ago or so. So the idea of peer group has really exploded. And that's good because there's more access, but there's also a downside because some of these peer groups, frankly, they're just BS sessions. You know, they're not moderated by a professional trained to facilitate a meeting. There's not a rigor about accountability. So, you know, it depends how much you want. And some of these peer groups are actually more like industry, you know, mastermind groups where, you know, I call them benchmarking groups where you get together and you all share your numbers and you talk about best practices. Very much about, you know, operational issues, technical problem solving, not a lot about leadership development. So it depends what you're looking for. My experience with Vistage was that there was a rigor. The best groups have a rigor to it. There was expectations about accountability. So if you, what we call process an issue at the end of the issue, you would have recommendations from the group. And then your question from the chair would be, what are the two action items we can count on you within the next 30 days? And then 30 days later, you're up in front of your group explaining what you did or didn't do. So, you know, rigorous accountability, sharing of goals, and also the ability to have productive meetings because many, especially visionary, with all due love and respect, visionary entrepreneurs love to talk about the future, love to create plans, and some of these conversations just are crazy. I'm like, what the heck are we doing here? You need somebody that can say, guys, stay focused. What's the business problem we're trying to solve? And other than just a waste of time, we had a nice conversation. But if you're not forwarding the action, if you're not walking out of those meetings with specific to-dos, you just had a nice little educational seminar. The action is where the gold is in my mind. So every speaker that would come in, what are the actionable items I can take away? My chair will hold me accountable to do those things. If I have an issue with accountability, I will discuss it in my one-to-one. So there's a rigor of expectations. And I think for people that want to grow, you need to have that level of positive challenge in the group. Otherwise, it's just a nice discussion group.
Yeah, and also I think what you're pointing to is the fact that business and leadership in particular, it's hard work, mm-hmm. and success is created by lots of small steps.
Yep.
So take a step, look at the results. Learn what you need to do slightly differently. Take another step. Look at the results. Learn what you need to do a little differently, et cetera, et cetera. Breakthroughs don't happen overnight. They happen after lots and lots of small steps.
Yep.
People notice the breakthroughs overnight.
Yep, they do. You know, did you ever hear that the saying, how did you go bankrupt? It was from Ernest Hemingway, one of his books. He said, slowly, 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 then suddenly. So, you know, how are you successful? It's the same way. It's slowly, slowly, slowly. And then suddenly, and then he's like, yeah, I'm an overnight success. It only took me 23 years to get here. So there's that patience and that rigor about execution. You know, the other thing that came up for me as you were talking to David was, you know, that people say, hey, we learn from our mistakes. Well, you know, I think if you're like me, I'm sick and tired of learning from my mistakes. I'd rather learn from somebody else's mistakes. So in a peer group, you're going to get all the war stories like, whoa, don't do that. I tried that one a couple of years ago. So, you know, you get that collective shared experience from other entrepreneurs that can kind of tap you on the shoulder and say, you know what, this is going to be a disaster. Don't do that. And then that collective wisdom is of great value.
So Hank, we've talked a lot in detail about what makes a peer group work well and how to find one that's suitable for you. Let's talk a little bit about the personal coaching situation. In particular, there's been a real explosion of people who call themselves coaches, especially business coaches. And as you and I know, there's no barrier to entry in the field. Anybody can hang up a shingle, or in these days, it's a virtual shingle, and say, I'm a business coach. And some people are really good at marketing and selling business coaching services and charging a lot of money for it. When is coaching appropriate? What should you expect from a good coaching relationship? And how do you find somebody who's good?
That's a great question. And in fact, I was just talking about this yesterday with an executive. I gave that person three names. I think the piece that you have to keep in mind is, why am I coming to coaching? Am I coachable? So coachable, like if I'm working with a client and I went through an organization called CTI, Coaches Training Institute, and I'm a certified coach. There is a rigor to the discipline, and the best coaches have certification and are credential. But when I'm working with a client, David, my first question is I'm asking myself, is this individual coachable? Now, that does not mean I'm going to tell them what to do, but are they willing to go to the edge? Are they willing to go into an area of discomfort in the service of their personal growth? Are they open to feedback, and do they have the motivation to change? The challenge with many entrepreneurs is you didn't get successful by being wishy-washy. You have an opinion. There is a healthy ego that every entrepreneur needs to have. I call it humbly confident. That can do wonderful things in the service of building a company. When it comes to coaching, though, you got to let the mask go and realize that you are a human being with all the good and the bad of that, and that you're able to be completely transparent and vulnerable with a coach and talking about exactly what the obstacles are. So in selecting a coach, you need to have good chemistry. I think the interpersonal aspect, the emotional connection, is more important than the technical information. And to your point, David, there's so many consultants that have, well, I'm a coach. Well, no, you're not a coach. You're a consultant. You're providing a specific answer to solve a specific problem. Best coaches are not in charge of giving you the answers. The best coaches are in charge of giving you the best questions. And the belief every coach has is that people are naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. They're not broken. They don't need to be fixed. And the coach is there to move them to a better, higher spot in their life as they define it. So good coaches are not about solutions, but helping people find their own solutions. I think the idea of selecting a personal coach is much like selecting any other professional service provider. Referrals from friends, respected executives that you know that have used coach services, ask them and try it before you buy it. Get a 1 half hour or 45 minute coaching session on the phone. Lots of coaching happens over the phone. Do it on the phone. If it doesn't fit, move on. Get someone else. You need to have that spirit of, this guy's got my back. This coach, she is really strong and she can hold me naturally, creative, resourceful, and whole. So I think the piece is experience about dealing with people. I'd ask the coach, tell me about a couple of your clients, respect and confidentiality, the challenges they had, and how did the coaching help them through that? So people that are coaches are courageous and will stand in the fire with you. So I, especially as an entrepreneur, I want to know, what fires have you helped your clients put out? What dreams have you helped your clients achieve? As a coach, what is your coaching style? Tell me about how you approach a relationship if we have it. The other piece, though, David, is critically clear. Before you start the coaching relationship, let's get crystal clear on our desired outcomes. Let's have check-in points. Let's create what we call a designed alliance. What do I need from you as a coach? What do you want from me? And are you willing to be held accountable to that? So again, are you willing to join the gym and lift the weights? And the coaching, in my experience, does not need to be a long-term experience. It's not 5 years of coaching, although it could be 6 months. I need to get in there. I got to reset my strategy. I got to deal with some issues about my leadership style. Oh, this is what I'd like to get out of the coaching. If it's not defined, you're going to just have a just general conversation. Coaches don't need to sit there for 45 minutes trying to figure out what you need to get out of the coaching. Best coaches are going to say right up front, what do you want to get out of this coaching today? What do you need coaching on? You show up prepared for that session, boom, you'll have great success. It doesn't have to be long. It could be 45 minutes, it could be a half hour. but it's really about your ability to show up prepared and ready to go. Don't expect the coach to save you. Coaches are challengers, but they will coach you. They will not rescue you.
It almost sounds like as a client, there's some homework you need to do to determine your own readiness.
Absolutely. If you feel that you're in a position like, you know, and you're what's called the edge, you know, there is an old you, yet the new you has not come out. That's where the edge is. And that's often where the negative self-talk comes up. I don't think I can take this risk. What if I fail? I'm no good. I'm not smart enough. I'm, you know, what should I know? Mine, David, was, you know, I was a retailer. I don't know anything about manufacturing. How could I even offer any counsel to my peer group? You know, and it was that small talk, that all that negative talk will get in the way of the clarity of thinking. So when you're at an edge, when you're stuck, that's a good time to call a coach because they'll help you get out of that.
Great advice. Hank, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
You know, you asked that question earlier. I'm saying, holy smokes. I have to tell you, foundationally, it is a necessary skill set for every entrepreneur to do it. I can think about a friend of mine, Brian Pierce, here in Philly, Pierce Phelps, extremely talented executive who has had to reinvent the business 3 or 4 times. In addition, has had many family business challenges, as every family business has. So for me, I have the greatest respect for Brian because he has maintained the integrity and the courage to do the right thing all the time. And that has been making really tough decisions related to family members, related to long-term employees, related to do what's right. And he's one of the executives I look at. And, you know, if it was somebody I said, you know, who's going to do the right thing, even if it's hard, Brian would do it. Always in the service of the greater good. And watching him go through it and walking with him there was an honor to me because I could see the suffering and the pain. But I think for me, when I think about good executives, I always think about Brian.
Great example.
Yeah, good man.
Hank, what can we look forward to from you in the near future? What's coming up?
Well, I'd like to threaten you, David. I just finished recording 12 small little video blogs that I'll be putting on my website over the next 6 months, specifically related to the Entrepreneur Operating System. So I will be inflicting those upon the viewing public within the next 3 or 4 weeks. And they'll be at my website, which is at www.positivetraction.com.
Well, congratulations on putting them together. I know that creating content is also hard work.
You're right. I thought, holy smokes, I don't know how these guys do it that are on TV and the interviewers. It's in front of a camera. It's challenging.
It definitely is. And I do it without the camera. And I can tell you, yeah, it takes work. We've now, actually, this is episode 301. So
wow, my hat's off to you, brother.
A lot of conversations, and yeah, it does take work to do it, but it's very rewarding. So my hat's off to you for doing it.
Thank you. Same back to you. Thank you for doing and providing this service to your listeners.
Hank, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
I think the best thing I'd recommend would be my website, positivetraction.com. Or if they want to give me a call, I service the Philadelphia area with my company, Positive Traction. My phone number is 215-593-7235. And there's also 75 other guys like me that do this work around the world. So if people are interested in learning more a little bit about it, be happy to chat.
Sounds great. Well, Hank, thank you so much for joining us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a great conversation about leadership, about how to get the right kind of help for someone who wants to grow as a leader. As we said earlier, leadership is lonely.
It is
very challenging, and you really need to want to grow to be a better leader. So thanks for sharing all these great tips.
Thank you, David, and I hope that your listeners find a little bit of value in that.
My guest today has been Hank O'Donnell, president of Positive Traction. Thanks again, Hank, for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. 0770. You never know what you might find out.